You are listening to a message recorded at Living Hope Church in Southwick, Massachusetts. We hope you find encouragement through God's Word today.
This past Thursday night, I was inspired by our Bible study to bring a message to you today about the sower and the seed. And I want to ask you a couple rhetorical questions today. I'm not looking for you to actually answer them. But the first question is this: how many people do you think currently live in the world that we live in? How many people, if you were to guess a number, how many people do you think are living in the world that we live in? The answer is, it's almost 8 billion people. 8 billion people live on this tiny blue marble that we call the world we live in, okay? If I were to ask you another question, another rhetorical question, how many of those 8 billion people do you think are Christian? And the answer to that would be 2.8 billion people are Christians. And that's a pretty big number, and that's pretty exciting, but that also means that almost two-thirds of this world doesn't know Jesus and will spend eternity apart from God. So it's a reminder to us and to every Christian that there is still work to do. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, he said this, "And this good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come." I want you to take note of those words for a minute there, what Jesus said. He said, you know, every nation of the world will hear this gospel of the kingdom, this good news of Jesus Christ, and it says, and then the end will come. Now notice that what it does not say that once everyone has believed, then the end will come. But rather, once everyone has had a chance to hear it, at least once, once everyone has had the opportunity to believe, to repent, and to turn to the Lord, then the end will come. And that's an incredible thing to think about, because think of technology in the world we live in today. There was a day that in order to get a message to someone, you had to hop on a ship, go across the ocean, venture into the jungle, and talk with somebody. Or you had to send a letter out. Now we have global media. We have the internet in almost every country. Even when I went to Ghana, everyone has a cell phone in Ghana, which is hard to believe. So everyone has a means by which they can hear. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing that there's a strong possibility that through the advent of social media, through the advent of the internet, that it is possible that people in the most remote parts of the world can hear the gospel. And Jesus said, once everyone's heard it, then I will return. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to believe it. But think of the amazing grace that God has for this world, that he is not willing that any should perish, but all who come to repentance, and that everyone can have at least the choice to listen to him or not. So, what does that mean for us? What is our part in God's plan? I believe the message is found in Matthew chapter 13. So if you can turn there and look with us, Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one, or see me, we'll get you one. But if not, you can look on the screen behind me. And the title of my message today is that God is looking for motivated messengers. Motivated messengers. These are people who are not afraid to share the good news. And Jesus used a parable in Matthew 13 to talk about it. Now, a parable is a comparison. In other words, it's a brief story or illustration to help the listener understand what the speaker is saying. In fact, if you were to look through and just, if you had an open Bible as opposed to an app, you would flip through chapter 13 and you would see that there are 8 different parables that Jesus uses to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. You know why he does that? It's because understanding the complexity, the glory, the amazing things that are about the kingdom of heaven would be difficult for anyone to understand. But Jesus makes a comparative illustration to help the listener comprehend what eternity is like, what heaven is like, what the glory of God is like in the world that is to come. And so through these things, he talks about one particular parable, which is the parable of the sower and the seed. So follow along with me, if you will, Matthew 13, verse 1. And it says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he began to tell them many things, saying in a parable, saying, a sower went out to sow, and when he sowed, some of the seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. And since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let him who has ears, let him hear. Now, I want you to notice something about this parable. Does Jesus explain the meaning at all? The answer is no. He does not explain what this means. And the disciples, being curious, wanted to ask, well, why do you speak in parables? Why don't you explain things to people? And verses 10 through 17 kind of cover it. We're not going to read through that, but you can kind of refer to it. But Jesus goes on to explain that only those who are truly listening will believe and understand. Because to the casual listener, Jesus is just telling stories, right? Oh, isn't that a cute story about fishing? Isn't that a cute story about farming? Isn't that an interesting story about finding a field and buying and purchasing it? To those who are a casual listener who weren't really paying attention, those stories were just neat little stories that Jesus was sharing. But to those who followed Jesus, to those who saw his miracles and understand that he was someone sent from God, those people who saw that there was something different about him hung on every word that Jesus said because they wanted to know more about God's kingdom. And it's to these people that desired to know more about God's kingdom that understanding was revealed to them. These are the people that who believed Jesus was the Messiah. Now, the Messiah is God's chosen deliverer for his people Israel and his chosen deliverer that brings salvation to the world. To those who understand who Jesus could be, to him, he wasn't just a man. He represented hope, the hope of salvation. And that's why Jesus tells disciples that many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see today and didn't see it. So to those who weren't really paying attention, they are just stories. But to those who understood who Jesus was and what he embodied and what he brought, they understood that him was the source of salvation and they wanted to learn more. Now, we see a little bit of a different and unique interaction between Jesus and his disciples to understand what it meant to be a disciple. And this will help us too as well in understanding what it means to be a disciple, is that when you had a rabbi or teacher gained renown because of their teaching. And because they gained renown, they would select people to be students that we would be their followers. And those students were called disciples. And when they selected those people, those who were selected recognized that I follow that rabbi wherever they go. I give up the years of my life to follow him, to learn from him, to do what he does, and to choose that spiritual path and walk that path. It was a lifelong commitment. And what disciples would often do with a rabbi is that a rabbi, when he would get done teaching, privately he would sit down with his students, and his students could ask questions about the teaching and learn. And so that's what the disciples do. And they say, well, what is the meaning of this parable of the sower and the seed? And Jesus begins to break it down for them in verses 18 through 23. Now, anytime you're reading a parable, you've got to sit down and look at, well, who are the main characters or the main features of the story? And so let's take a moment and do that. There's three main features, and then there's four types of ground. Three main features and four types of ground. The three main features, the three main players or characters in the story is that first there is a sower. And a sower is a farmer. Sower is someone that goes out and sows seed, but it also represents a messenger. Now, this sower represents someone who proclaims the good news of the gospel. Now, this might seem obvious to some of us here, but in order for you or for a farmer to have a harvest, they first have to sow. So those who own farms in the community of Southwick and the surrounding area, they know that there's certain seasons that even though they don't feel like it, they have to go out and sow seed and plant certain things so that when the harvest comes, whether it be mid-June or late August or September, they realize that those things will be coming into fruition soon, and it only happens if I sow. In order for them to see what they want to see, they have to sow into the unseen. So in order for them to see, okay, if I want to see, vegetables, I have to sow into the ground without seeing what's going to happen. It's almost a faith act when you think about it, to lay those seeds in the ground, saying, okay, I am believing that if I sow these seeds in the ground, that eventually, come July, come August, come September, I will have fruits and vegetables that are there for me. Whether it is corn, wheat, vegetables, a seed is needed in order to grow. And a sower requires motivation, a person that is motivated to get out there and spread the seed. Now, a sower is a person who has the word of God in their heart and shares it with others, whether it's teaching, preaching, or evangelizing. In order for people to be saved and know eternal life, there have to be people that are motivated to be messengers for God in this world. And some might say, well, I don't know what I can possibly share that would make a difference in someone's life. I'm not real knowledgeable in the scriptures. I'm not an apologist. I don't know how to break things down. But the simple, important thing that you must remember is that have you been changed? Have you been saved? Has your life been transformed by Jesus? And if it has been, then you have something to say about that. You have something to share with that person. The average person does not look for apologetics, honestly. They're not looking for you to break it down, you know, for them to understand it more deeply. Now, there might be people that ask questions and want to know more. And one of the best things you can say to someone if you don't know the answer to that is say, you know what, that's a really good question. Let me look that up and get back to you instead of trying to fake it till you make it, okay? Don't fake it till you make it. Say, you know, admit that there's times there's things that you don't know and that you need to know, and then come back to that person and explain what you have learned. But sharing your life, sharing your story about what Jesus has done for you can make a difference. How many times have you bought a product because a friend recommended it to you? How many times have you tried a vitamin supplement that a friend recommended to you? Or you tried a chiropractor, or you tried a doctor that someone recommended to you, or you hired a realtor because someone else used that realtor. All it took was that person to say, hey, you know what? This worked for me. Maybe you should try it too. And that's what it means to bring the message to someone else. Messengers must be motivated. They must be motivated for the harvest. They must be motivated by the idea that there are people that don't know God and will spend eternity apart from Him. Without that, you must have a heart for the lost. They, like farmers, understand that in order to see the harvest, you have to sow seed. So there's a sower. Secondly, there's seed. The seed is the message of the gospel. The seed is the good news of salvation through Jesus alone. Seed needs a sower. Otherwise, it sits idle and does no one any good. It sits in a shed or it sits in a barn. Most of us have those four-step Scotts lawn builder programs sitting in our shed somewhere. Some of us have grass seed. We know that the lawn is bare in certain parts, and you have to spread that out. You know that unless you go out and put that in spreader, unless you put that on your lawn, it's not going to happen, okay? So you have to take that seed and utilize it. The message needs a messenger. Without it, the word doesn't get out. In fact, the message of Jesus is called the good news. In the Greek, it's the word evangelion. In the Greek, it's the word evangelion, which is where we get the word for evangelist. The reason why it's good news is because it's the message of eternal life. It's the message of forgiveness of sins. It's a message for healing for the brokenhearted. That's the gospel message. But I want you to know about something about the sower and what he does with his seed. Now, the sower, Jesus didn't say, like, the sower went out and he took a couple little grains of seeds and he found a nice little spot that would go in, and he carefully just kind of put those seeds in the ground one at a time. And then he kind of like looked at it, poured a little water on it, and walked away. No, it says that the sower, and typically the sowers at those times, they would have a shoulder bag. And in that shoulder bag, they'd have a bag that was full of seed. And that sower would go and they'd grab great big fistfuls of seed. Now, I'm left-handed, so a right-handed bag doesn't work for me. But you'd take great big fistfuls of that seed and you would just throw it everywhere. Throw it into the wind, throw it into the lawn, throw it into the fields that were around them, throw it wherever it was. And he just did that. And now, why did he do that? Because he recognized that the only way that you have a great harvest is if you sow a lot of seed. The sower also understood that not every seed that hits the ground is going to take root and yield a plant. So if the sower just kind of went and go, okay, one here, okay, one here, then there's a strong possibility, given the odds and given the way that farming is, and if you've ever tried to do farming, you've ever tried to grow a garden, you've ever tried to take care of vegetables, you know that it doesn't always work out the way it's supposed to, right? You don't always get the yield that you want. So if you put all your hope into just that one or two seeds, then probably you're going to be disappointed. But the more you sow, the greater chance and odds that you have that something is going to take root and something is going to grow. A farmer knows in order to have a great harvest, you must sow a lot of seed. And the same is true with sharing Jesus with people. Not everyone is going to believe your message or hear what you're going to say. But you have a better chance of people believing when you share than if you didn't share at all. Okay, I'm going to tell you that again. Here's how it works, okay? There's a better chance of people believing the gospel when you share it with them as opposed to you not sharing it with them. Because you know why? Because a message needs a messenger. A seed needs a sower, okay? So I remember, I believe it was the great Hall of Fame hockey player, Wayne Gretzky, has a quote. He says, "You miss 100% of the shots you don't take." So if you want to miss shots, don't take them at all. Your success rate will be zero. But what if you actually tried? Just because the seed doesn't always take root doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the seed. You have a bag full of seed. You plant it with the hopes of flowers. You plant it with the hopes of tomatoes or vegetables or whatever the case might be. You know that sometimes, like, there's nothing wrong with the seed. And can I tell you this too? There's nothing wrong with the sower. Sometimes we're like, well, they didn't listen. They didn't hear what I had to say. What's wrong with me? Why won't they listen to me? Can I tell you why sometimes they won't listen to you? Because maybe you're part of their family. And you're the younger sibling. And you know nothing as far as they're concerned, right? Okay? That happens sometimes. Maybe you're a son or daughter, and you're trying to tell mom and dad that they need to be saved. And they're like, listen, son, daughter, I raised you. Don't tell me what I need. You know, it's great that you found religion, but don't bring that stuff here. So sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes with the friends that you've grown up with, too, they're used to seeing the side of you before you were saved, and now that you are saved, then you're just weird. You don't do the things you used to do. You're boring now. So they're like, you are in some cult, you got involved with something, and you're just a different person now. So sometimes it takes somebody else to sow the seed. Sometimes it takes someone else to share the message. So why do I say that? It's because sometimes we're like, well, I should stop sharing because no one's listening to me. No, you should keep sharing with more people. And all of us keep sharing. If all of us were sowing seed, then there's a chance that the person that was part of your family that's not listening to you might listen to them. You know what I mean? The sower needs a seed. And then third part, there is ground. You have to have ground for the seed to take root in. And Jesus said that the ground, types of grounds are different hearts. So let's look at the four types of hearts there that Jesus talks about, verses 18 and 19. He says, then hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away from what has been sown in his heart. And this was that which was sown along the path. The first ground is the hard ground. This is either people with a hard heart or a hard head, okay? Maybe you know people that have both. Maybe you know people that have one or the other. A hard heart is one that refuses to let their emotions show. A hard heart is someone that refuses to let anything in that might affect them. A hard head says, you know what, I'm an intellectual, or either that or I'm just stubborn and I'm not an intellectual, and so I'm not going to listen to anything that anybody says because, you know what, I make my own path, okay? So Jesus talks about how the sower would throw seed, and sometimes the seed would land on the path. Now, the path is worn down, it's hardened, it's made really compact down by horses and carriages riding over it from people trampling on that pathway. And so like when that seed hits that hard ground, there's no open space for it to fall into. And because it's hard, it bounces off. And then because seeds are something that birds like to eat, birds come and they eat the seeds off the pathway and it's gone. And so what Jesus is saying is that the message of the gospel, when it hits a hard heart or it hits a stubborn person, is that sometimes the word goes forward, but because they're stubborn, it doesn't take root, and then the enemy comes and takes whatever was there and whisks it away somewhere else. So they go, you don't need that. You know, you're smart. You're self-sufficient. You're a good person. You don't need to listen to any of that Jesus stuff or any of that religion stuff because you're already set. You're already good. So what has to happen with a hard ground in order for there to be actual growth that takes place? Well, if you're in farming, you know, after the hard winters in New England, what do you have to do? You have to go in and you have to plow up the ground that's hard. And once the ground's been plowed up and broken up, then the soft parts of the ground are available that will receive and accept the seed so growth can take place. A lot of times we go through hard things that make us hard. And for people that are sometimes resistant to the gospel message, understand that you may not know their story. Understand that they might have been through some things that have made them hard to listen to the gospel. And what it takes is that sometimes God has to break up that ground in order for them to be open and vulnerable to be able to allow the gospel message into their heart. And you know how sometimes God does that? He either does it through hard circumstances. I've seen some of the people that are most confident in the world, most assured of themselves, on top of the world, like in their particular workplaces, high up on the management scale, have need of nothing, have no interest in religion, and then difficulties come. They lose their job. Their marriage is on the rocks. Tragedy or a health issue hits them. And what happens? Their confidence in themselves starts to waver, and they start to look for answers, and they start to look to God for help. In these ways, God breaks up the hardened ground so they will be receptive to what the Lord would have to say to them. Let's look at the second ground, verses 20 and 21. It says, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy and yet has no root in himself, and it endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. So the second ground is shallow ground or stony ground, which is basically fickle faith. Now this is the person that hears the message of salvation but doesn't understand the cost of being a Christian. They're happy to hear that Jesus loves them. They're happy to hear that God has a plan for their life. They don't hear the parts about dying to self. They don't hear the parts about repenting of sin. They don't hear the parts of counting the cost of following him and that life can be difficult as you walk with Jesus. So they're under the impression that, hey, you know, following Jesus is great and all my dreams are going to come true and this is going to be great, right? And then they start going into life, and then they realize their friends have changed on them, their family doesn't appreciate their faith, and they're trying to convert them. And then all of a sudden, they realize, I'm not comfortable anymore. My life is being made difficult. And so because of that, their faith never got any deeper than the surface level. This happens all the time in church. People will show up on Sunday morning, they're having a rough day, they come to the altar, they cry, they accept Christ as Savior, and then I never see them in church again. Why? Because they felt better, they walked out, and they forgot about everything else. Jesus didn't come to make us feel better, church. He came to help us to die to self so that we would have eternal life in him, and there's a bit of a cost involved in that. There's difficulty that goes along with being with that. Sometimes when you take a stand for certain values and certain truths, you are going to find yourself in opposition to other people. They may not like you. And if you have difficulty with that, then you're going to find being a Christian very, very hard. But understand that that's part of it. That is something that we often have to go through. So if our faith doesn't have any root other than the surface, when things get hard, they will leave it behind. Can I tell you that the one thing that will help with that, though? Discipleship. If you have someone that's walking with you through the journey of faith and shows you what it means to be a Christian, and when things come up that are difficult and things that come up that are hard, when someone can walk you through that, talk you through that, and you say, like, you know, I feel like I'm doubting my faith. I'm having trouble believing for things. Or today I just feel really discouraged. Or, you know, my husband said this, my wife said this to me. They think I'm crazy for following Jesus. And you talk to somebody who's a solid Christian, they go, you know what, that happens sometimes. And then you're like, oh, okay, I guess it does happen sometimes. And they walk you through it. Discipleship will help you grow, help your faith deepen, so that when the challenges of life come your way, you can actually stand the test. Good discipleship raises strong and rooted Christians. One thing you should know is that Jesus never misrepresented what it meant to be a Christian. Some of the verbiage that sometimes churches use is like, you know, come to Jesus, you know, it's like he's got a plan for your life, he's got your best life now in mind, all that stuff. But they never tell you about the downside of it. They're leaving out a central part of what it means to be a Christian. Jesus never missold, he never was a salesman when it came to being a Christian. He never promised them something that it wasn't. He said, listen, if you could follow me, it's going to be hard. If you follow me, people are not going to like you. If you follow me, maybe your family will even have problems with you. And so at that point, a lot of people go, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. No thanks, right? That happens. There's times where Jesus called people and they go, never mind, I appreciate that, but no thank you. But he never misrepresented. He was always open about what it meant to be a Christian. What about the third type of ground? Verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The thorny ground is the heart that is consumed with the cares of this world. These are those who believe and hear the word, but the cares, wants, desires, and pursuits of this world choke out the faith that you have. When a seed grows among thorns and thorn bushes, the thorns block out the sunlight, and the seed dies because the plant can't grow. It's almost impossible to be a Christian when you have one foot in the world and one foot in church. A man cannot serve two masters. He must love one and shun the other. You can't follow Jesus and follow the world what it considers to be important. It's hard to follow Jesus when you're trying to keep up with the world. The world chases after things like money and significance and wealth and security and notoriety and fame and all of those things. Can I break it down for you? Run completely contrary to following Jesus. When the world says live for yourself, Jesus says die to yourself and live for God and serve others. When the world says take whatever you can get from life, Jesus says give it all away because your treasure lies in heaven. When the world says make a name for yourself and get people to like you, Jesus says be humble and take the position of a servant, for whoever wants to be greatest must be the servant of all. And when you hear that, it's difficult for some. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, the challenges of life will always try and keep your faith down. The challenges of life will keep you out of this building and keep you out of fellowship with other Christians. And you can paint it however you like. You can excuse it however you like. But you have to recognize it for what it is. It's the cares of this world that are trying to choke out your faith. Even when God grants you, even when you start to see the good things in your life, some people are like, I'd be really happy if I just found that special someone, that guy, that girl. If I just found that person, I'd be happy. I got news for you. If you're not happy when you're single, you're not going to be happy in a relationship because you bring that unhappiness with you. But some people, they serve God, they follow God, and then they find somebody and they don't show up in church anymore. They found their happiness somewhere else. Sometimes people are praying, they're like, God, give me a job, and if you give me a job, I'll honor you with that, and I'll be a blessing to it. And they get that job, and that job starts to demand more of them. It says, hey, I need you on Sundays. Hey, I need you during the week. Hey, I need you to work 60 hours this week as opposed to the regular schedule. I know what we talked about when you got hired, but we just really need you. And you're like, well, it's a lot of money, and I get time and a half on Sunday, and I get paid more when I work the holidays. And Jesus understands, right? He gets it. Like, I need to make ends meet. I'm taking care of my family. And then we don't see you, and your faith starts to lapse. What's happening there is that the cares of this world are choking out the faith you have. Always contend for your faith, because it's the one thing that's going to keep you going when things start to fall apart around you. Eventually, faith that's choked out, things that take you away from your time with God, away from prayer, away from worship, away from fellowship with other believers and the Word, that will eventually cause your faith to die out. But there is hope, though. There is a ground that is not hard. There is good ground, too. Verse 23 says, as for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it, and indeed he bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. This makes sowing seed all the worthwhile, knowing that something is growing out of your efforts. Remember that. So the farmer says, okay, I'm sowing seed, and so the one thing that they're looking forward to is that will anything grow out of what I'm doing right now? Will my efforts make a difference? So the fourth soil is good ground. Good ground is a welcoming heart. Good ground is the heart that hears the word of God and receives it by faith. They hear the message of Jesus and the cross, and they leave everything behind to follow him. This is the person that fully understands both the hopes and the demands of being a Christian. They have deep faith, which they nurture, cultivate, and help to grow. These are people that are hungry for the word of God and earnestly want to understand it more. And just like deep soil, a person with a welcoming heart allows the word of God into every part of their life, letting it do the deep work of transformation. People with a heart that welcomes the word learns and grows in their faith, becoming stronger in their beliefs, unshakable in their convictions, and strong and stable in the way that they live. Christians with this kind of heart grow strong not only in their faith, but in goodness, godliness, and spiritual character. But that's not all. They also bear fruit. A healthy tree bears good fruit. And a healthy spiritual life produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which are the qualities of godly character. And they also, one thing about people with an accepting or willing heart, they bear fruit for the kingdom of God. What they do affects the kingdom of God in a powerful way. They serve, they share, they love on people, they do good. And as a result of their faithfulness, as a result of their goodness, as a result of the fruit that God's bearing in their life, they share with other people. And as a result, people are saved, they're healed, they're comforted and strengthened. People who have a deep heart with good soil that receive the word with gladness, that let it do a deep work inside them, those are the people that are encouraging others and pointing people to God. They not only produce kingdom fruit, but they're also fruitful, bearing more fruit. They reproduce who they are. These are not just people that are sharing their faith with strangers, but they're trying to make more followers of Jesus through their life. In other words, they bring people into salvation and say, hey, you know, believe in Jesus, and hey, let me walk you through life. Let me show you how to pray. Let me show you how to believe God for things. Let me show you how to understand this passage of Scripture. Let me show you how to worship and to trust God and to walk through things. A person who is walking with the Lord has deep-rooted faith that affects who they are, changes them from the inside out, and they help to change others and make a difference. For a sower, this is the blessing of sowing. This is the best case scenario. This is why a farmer sows seed, because he wants to see a mighty harvest. When this happens, I want you to think about this for a minute. When this happens, if the farmer receives a massive harvest in the area that he did plant, he doesn't focus on what didn't grow. He is overjoyed at what did. Okay? So as you share faith with people, as you sow seed, as you share the message, don't focus on the ones who didn't receive it. As though somehow there's something wrong with the seed or something wrong with the sower. Instead, remember that the sower can't make it grow. Right? Our job is to what? Plant, water, but who gives the growth? God. Okay? So you might be the one that plants. You might be a one who waters. You might be somebody that's reinforcing what's been said. But that would be like if you went outside and you planted a seed in the ground and then you got down on all fours and you just stared at it. And you yelled at it. You need to grow. You need to go deeper. What happens? It might appreciate the carbon dioxide, don't get me wrong, but that's necessary for photosynthesis from what I understand. But is that fruitful? No. Because what has to happen? You have to trust that what you sow will grow. You have to trust that the message, remember, the Word of God is better than us. The Holy Spirit does a work that we can't see. Jesus said, my Father is always working, as am I. So when you go to bed, after you've been anxious about something, he's still working. After you've shared the word with somebody, remember, the Holy Spirit, he's still working. Okay, so there has to be a part of this where as you sow, as you share, as you bring it to someone else, you have to trust God to work on that person and allow God to bring the growth and the increase. Even in the areas where a person might lack faith, let God do it. So, what is the job of the sower? What is the job of the messenger? Just be faithful and available. Do the part you're supposed to do. Sow because if you don't sow, there won't be a harvest. Share because if you don't share, no one will know. You sit here today in this room because somebody said, that person's worth sharing with. Or someone shared it with your parents or your grandparents or your aunt or uncle. And you sit here today because someone said, hey, I got to share a message. And they weren't sure. Can I tell you? They weren't sure if they were going to listen. They weren't sure if they were going to get a hand to the face and a few choice words. And maybe in your history coming to Christ, maybe that's where you were. Maybe at first you were like, I am that hard ground. And I was like, no thanks. You can take that and do something else with it. I'm not believing that. That's ridiculous. Until the day your heart, the hard soil in the exterior was broken up and you were able to receive what God was going to plant in your heart and life. So it comes down to it. The Lord of the harvest needs laborers. He told his disciples to work while it's still day because night is coming when no person can work. And we think about that number that I said to you at the beginning of my message, 8 billion people, 2.8 billion Christians. There's a lot of work to do, right? There's a lot of things to do. So what is our part in it? Jesus said to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest field. For the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Jesus, it sure doesn't look like that there's a lot of people that want to line up to see, receive Jesus. It doesn't look like the harvest is white and ready for people to come and accept Christ. But again, Jesus says that they are and they are ready. Sometimes we're like, I'm not going to sow that seed because I don't know if they'll accept it or not. You will never see the harvest if you don't sow seed. You'll never see a life change if you don't share the message. And our job is just to share. We're like postmen that deliver the mail. It's up to the person to open that letter and receive it. So what is God calling us to do? Will he call you to that today? Will you answer the call to be someone who sows seed? And regardless of which, whether the soil or the person accepts it or rejects it, you're going to encounter all kinds of people in this world. But can you trust the truth of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit to work in someone's life and be obedient, faithful? The worst thing you can do is just pack up the seed and hide it somewhere, and all you do is you take it out and you see the seed and you put it back in the bag and say, I'm so glad I have the seed. I'm so glad I have the word and what it's doing in my life. But there's an element of this where Jesus says, you have to do this. So he's calling us to share the message with others. And I pray that you'll do that today. While time is short, while there's still day to be had, let's share the gospel for the kingdom. If there are people that you're thinking of today, I want us to end this time by praying for those that you've tried to share with. Maybe as I've gone through these four different kinds of soil, there's people that you can think of that fit each of those descriptions, right? Like, oh, wow, that's totally that person. What if we just prayed collectively today that God would do a difference in their life? Do you believe that God, by his Spirit and by his word, can do that? Whether it's through you or through someone else, I believe that he can. Will you join with me today? Will you close your eyes with just a moment here? And I want you to think of that person that maybe you thought of as we mentioned those four different types of soil today. Think of the person that's hard and doesn't want to listen. Would you ask God that he would break up the soil so they would hear, break up their hard heart? Maybe the person that's shallow, that doesn't really understand what it means to be a Christian. Maybe you've talked to them about God before and you thought that they accepted Christ and they kind of are just doing their own thing now. And you're like, what is that person even doing? God, there are people in your life that are like that, but God wants to reach them too. Other people that are consumed with this world and its cares and its stresses and its desires and its pursuits. Are there people like that that you can think of? God wants to reach them too. And then there's a soil of a heart that's ready to receive it. Someone who's open and willing to receive it. That person you can encounter at any given time if you are able to hear and pursue God's leading in those situations. Will you pray with me for these things? Let's pray. God, we lift up that person by name. We remember them this morning, Lord God. By name, we remember them, Lord God. And we ask humbly, Lord, in the grace and authority that you've given us, Lord, we pray that those people would be saved, that they would believe and receive and let the seed of your truth penetrate their lives. We pray that they would be saved. We pray that they become Christian. We pray that they would let down their resistance and receive the message you have for them. We pray that this would be the year we would see breakthrough in their life. We pray that this year would be the year we would see them come to know you in such a powerful and radical way that they would be even a better Christian than we are, Lord God. We just believe that today, Lord, that there's a possibility that they can be changed. Lord, if you could change the persecutor Saul, you can change anybody. So, Lord, we pray for them. Save their souls. Bring them to you. Lord, I pray for us today. Move on our hearts, oh God. Give us a vision for the lost. Help us to see people as needing to know you. Help us to be overwhelmed and pricked in the heart at the almost 6 billion people that still need to know you, Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to say, wherever I go and wherever I am, I'm going to be your light and your witness and to bring truth and hope and light to them. So I pray, Lord, raise up and motivate messengers, Lord God, that will bring your message to those who need to hear it. Take away fear, anxiety, and doubt about it. But God, I pray by your Spirit you would motivate us for what is to come. Help us to have joy in the harvest, not to be afraid of it, but to look forward to it. Help us to sow into the unseen so that we might see what is seen. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We invite you to join us Sunday mornings to worship with us. We are located at 267 College Highway in Southwick, Massachusetts. For more information about Living Hope Church, visit us online at www.livinghopechurchag.org.